Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
Sending congratulations to one of our guests from last week, and that is Leva Bates, for not only doing the show, but having the show catapult her to working the NXT tapings this past week, where she got over in a one-minute pop punter and had a WWE writer saying on Facebook that he plans on bringing her back for more. So congratulations to Leva Bates on a pretty successful week. The main thing is she did the show. That's the most important part. But we have our co-host, Craig, who we could have used for at least 17 minutes last week, but unfortunately he chose to earn money and support his family instead of doing the show. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings, salutations, Edward. What was I thinking?
Yeah, what were you thinking? And then we also have our other co-host on the line, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Nothing. I'm here. I'm not doing something stupid like providing for my family.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. But since this is your idea for a show, I'll let you introduce the show this week, Katrina.
Well, did y'all want to talk about the pay-per-view, or did y'all just want to do the topic?
Well, we can talk about the pay-per-view a little bit. Kind of ties into it, you know.
Did you watch the pay-per-view, Katrina?
Yes. That's what I want to talk about.
Did you watch the pay-per-view? Did you watch the pay-per-view, Craig?
I've seen most of it. I've been very, very busy this week.
Because I was planning on watching the pay-per-view. I even got the night off from work, but then I found out that my good friend Will Darling was working Austin Sunday night, so I've only seen bits and pieces of the pay-per-view from my phone while I was at the NFC Championship Wrestling Show in Austin. So you guys are going to actually have to carry the talk for the pay-per-view. But I'll go ahead and make the church start this, because he saw it all.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay.
I'm still looking for notes.
The first match was the tag team championship match with the Usos against Dustin the Wind.
I actually did have my phone on for most of this match, and it was kind of hard watching both. I'd watched the pay-per-view for a few seconds and then watched the ring back and forth. But it actually looked like a good match. I was kind of what I thought looked pretty good. I'll let you guys talk about it.
I thought it was one of the best matches on the show, which really there wasn't anything that bad on really nothing bad on the show. So, but the Dust Brothers, they won the championship. There's not much else to say about it. Craig, did you see this match?
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed this. They had their classic tag match. We've seen it just like the Wyatts and the Usos. We're starting to see this a lot. But Goldust got the heat on the Usos when he power slammed Jimmy onto the floor. It looked absolutely brutal. The finish, or there was near the finish, there was a really cool deal where Jimmy came off the top, or did his plancha while Goldust did a flip the opposite direction, so they crossed each other on a dive. That was really cool. And basic roll up and a cradle for the win. I very much enjoyed this.
I do want to ask you guys one question, because like I say, I did watch it on my phone, but I could barely hear it, or I put the sound down or whatever. Were the fans taking to Goldust and Stardust as the heels? Were they wooed throughout? Were they like, was it deafening that it was they were the heels to the fans, or how did the fans react to this match? Because even though they're going heel, and I like the Usos, I mean, I prefer Goldust and Stardust, you know what I mean?
Kind of. They're not. I don't think the fans are catching on quickly.
They don't seem too heel to me. Aside from from when they turned, there's really not that much that seems heelish to me about them. I guess it's just like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seem more wacky than heelish.
Yeah. They sound like a tweener type.
So the next match was Sheamus. He pinned Cesaro in just over 13 minutes. It was actually a pretty long pay-per-view match for these two. These guys hit each other very hard, and it was – I really, really enjoyed this.
Nothing as brutal as the next night when Sheamus took that bump off the peg on ring. That looked like it was a thumb screwed up right there.
Yeah, basically Sheamus was teetering over the top rope, and Cesaro was on the floor, grabbed his feet and pulled him, and then he crashed all the way down to the pretty black mats on the floor, and it looked absolutely brutal.
Do you remember when the Big Show picked Ray up on that stretcher and ran into the ring post on the outside, and he splatted face
like
first on the floor?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, it looked brutal.
Is that he had a little bit more control and could actually, if he wanted to protect himself, even though he didn't, but still, it was brutal looking.
That was awesome. Yeah, Sheamus went for the brogue kick throughout the match and kept missing it. And just from out of nowhere, Sheamus hit the brogue kick and got the clean pin. Very good.
Yeah, he did kind of the deal out of I know Ed remembers this, the Shawn Michaels-Kurt Angle match, when he's like slapping him around, kind of browbeating him, and then he whips out the wicked super kick. He was kind of doing that
like
to Sheamus.
Super kicks ever.
And he was kind of doing that to Sheamus in the corner, and then Sheamus just came out with a broke kick and got the win. So.
Yeah, he had a little more space, but for a big guy, I know what you're saying, because he did kick the shit out of him. But I actually did watch the majority of this on my phone because I just couldn't look away because they were just fucking – they were having a mean guy match.
Yeah.
That's all I could say because they were hitting the shit out of each other. They were slamming the shit out of each other. I mean, Sheamus isn't the biggest guy in the world, but the way Cesaro was just popping him around was just as impressive as hell. I mean – Cesaro, I don't know, man. He doesn't look like he's the strongest guy on the roster, but he sure as hell, when you see him, you think he is.
He's a freak.
But that was a good match. I enjoyed that one. From what I saw, I would probably say that was the best of what I saw throughout the night.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we had Miz, and I saw half of this. I was not impressed. But Miz ended up winning the IC title from Dolph Ziggler. Dave gave this match 2.5 stars. I think that's being a little generous.
It was okay. The match the next night was way better.
Yes, very much so.
Which was a match where Miz Dow put a phantom figure four on somebody.
That was at the Raw.
At the Raw, yeah. Yeah, that right there made it better than the other one. I barely saw the other one. There was a good match actually going on in the ring.
And this is where I
chose
quit
indie wrestling
until...
over The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. I mean, that's kind of bad when you think about it.
Yeah, well, yes and no. So this is where I stopped watching until the main event. But next up was Rusev, and he wrestled Mark Henry. Contreras, the floor is yours.
This was not a good match, I didn't think. For all the build-up, you expected maybe... I thought the match the next night was better. And I like the beginning when they do it in the national anthem, and Mark Henry, he's crying while they're doing the national anthem, and then he taps out. I don't understand that finish, unless they're turning him or something like that. I would have had him pass out, and then if they wanted him to tap out, I'd have done it the next night. I'd done it in reverse. So...
Yeah, exactly.
I have heard.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead, Craig.
I was going to say, I have heard actually that he is doing a subtle heel thing on main event, and it sounds like the heel turn will come on Monday for Mr. Mark Henry.
Well, he's going to turn on the Big Show, probably. That's the only one I can figure.
Great.
Yeah,
I
could see it because he could be upset that Big Show didn't like pin Rusev, but he still knocked him out and got the best of him. So I could see Henry kind of being upset about that, you know, like he was the Olympic hero, but he let the people down, and this other dude fucking goes and does it. So I guess I could kind of see that.
Well, he hasn't turned in a couple of years, so. They always turn these guys. Him and Big Show's been turned.
Especially Mark Henry. Mark Henry turns just as much as anybody. I mean,
it's true.
I think Big Show's turned more than anybody in history.
Do you remember when Mark Henry was a heel, and then he cut that promo, and then he became a face, and then he became a heel later that night?
Yeah.
I didn't see any of this match, actually, because this is when, like I say, my good buddy Solo Darling was having her match against Athena, and it was a good little match. She did a spot that I actually saw in a fist fight, whereas in this fist fight, this guy was getting his ass kicked and got floored and then reached in his pocket and put out a fucking little thing of cocaine and fucking snorted cocaine and popped up like doing a roar spot. And then got punched in the face and knocked fully out cold. And she did a spot where she went to the corner and pulled out some pixie sticks because she's a sugar addict and had the pixie sticks and then ran wild like Hulk Hogan for a little while until, unfortunately, Athena grabbed the rest of the pixie sticks and ate them. And I guess she took in more pixie stick power and she really fucking hulked up and went crazy. And unfortunately, she did defeat Solo Darling. But I'm sure it was much better than Rusev Mark Henry.
That's much better. I do that.
Yeah, Dave gave this one a star and a quarter. Again, a little bit generous by Dave.
Yeah. I actually kind of had this in like a negative star range.
Yeah.
This main.
I can see that.
I guess because all the build up, I expected something better. So.
Yeah, I said this before. Sometimes big men, when they pair them up against each other, it either really works or it doesn't work at all. So,
how long was the match? Because maybe that was a problem. They gave him too much time. Maybe
minutes.
They would have just... Remember like how him and Big E would have decent matches because they were only like 2 minutes?
Well, this one went 8, so there you go.
Yeah, they probably should have just gone 4.
That's probably fair. Next up, we had Chris Jericho and Randy Orton. They went 16 minutes.
Dave thought this was a great... I didn't care much for this match for some reason.
And Dave gave it 4 stars.
I don't know. Maybe just because I feel like I've seen every Chris Jericho, Randy Orton match there's ever been. It's just...
The thing with Chris Jericho matches is we get excited because it's Chris Jericho, but in reality, Chris Jericho is older, slower, and his matches just are not as good as they used to be. So then we end up becoming away more disappointed, I think, in them because they didn't live up to what we were like expecting from Chris Jericho in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been a problem. Like, look at the Wyatt match. You know, it wasn't bad, but you know what I mean? It wasn't special. And I think that's what the problem is with Jericho. He's just not, he's gotten to the point where he'll have a great match, but we're expecting so much more, and then we come away like, eh, it was okay.
Mm. Yeah, I've always been a big fan of Jericho, but since he's been doing this this rock star thing and a wrestling thing, a lot of his stuff just hasn't grabbed me like he used to.
Listen, I think you always know whether he's going to lose eventually.
Yeah, because he's going to be gone. He's going to be on tour,
yep. You
know, in just a matter of weeks. So, which he is right now, as a matter of fact.
Same thing like when I watch Rob Van Dam when he's on there.
Yeah, that's fair.
So,
yeah, yeah. Jericho does. He puts in. He can still put in a way better match than RVD at this point because RVD.
Yeah.
You know, I still like RVD, but he's a shell of what he once was in his prime. And Jericho, where Jericho can still have a great match, it's just not that special match.
In the main event, we had John Cena, and he defeated Brock Lesnar by DQ.
Actually, I should run down the thing with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. He suffered a hernia. I can't remember what the term was. Remember what the term was?
Yeah, shoot. It was...
I'm not even going to try and say it.
Incorporated hernia or something? I don't remember.
I totally
some kind of hernia
away.
He had suffered over the weekend, and he was taken out. It looked like he's going to be out for about 3 months. Which way programming is going now for WWE is probably a good thing for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Take about 3 of the shitty months off and come back when it's time for WrestleMania. I like
and
that
by
they
the
were
way,
doing the breaking news thing on the network, even though they didn't pop in when they said they were going to. I went back there, and I don't know, it's kind of cool to see, like, you could, like, click on and watch the breaking news, and it was up to date and everything. I thought that was pretty cool for the network, so.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded cool. I never had time to check it out, but that did sound pretty cool. I hope they do stuff like that more often.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sitting around. I don't know who's sitting around watching the stream.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't sit around and watch the stream unless there's something specific, like it's going to be on. I mean, unless it's a pay-per-view, I don't sit around and watch the live stream all the time. I just pick and choose.
Have you ever, when I go to the site, like, my computer takes me straight to the stream, okay? Has anyone ever gone to watch something and by some fucking chance it's actually playing on the stream? Like, because I remember there was one, I think I was going to watch the NXT, the last one, not live, but a second time. And I went to it. And by some amazing coincidence, it was just fucking starting on the stream. It just kind of blew my mind. I was like, wow, the timing on that.
Hasn't happened for me.
I just look for everything, whatever I'm going to watch, and just click watch from the beginning. The only time I made sure to watch the stream was when they were previewing that first Monday Night War show. And I was able to, and it was like airing like right after Raw. There's about 15 minutes left, so I was able to, it was late when I got through watching Raw, so I was able to pop in and push watch from the beginning, so I was able to watch the whole thing, so.
In my haste, I totally skipped a match, and probably because subliminally. AJ Lee won the Divas title over Paige and Nikki Bella. I saw two things on this. I saw Nikki take the ugliest bump off the apron, front flip to the floor. Ouch. And then Paige getting tapped out with the Black Widow. That's all I saw of this.
It was in the bathroom.
There you go. So I didn't need to see much more.
I missed the last two things because it was intermission time, and had to meet Solo and give her a big bag of Mexican candy that I brought her. So, yeah, I missed the Divas match.
I see.
What is Mexican candy? Is that like drugs?
No, it wasn't drugs. I actually gave her Mexican candy because, and I didn't even know, but it turns out she's a Latina. So, no, I just gave her like these. I went to the grocery store and I just grabbed a bunch of Mexican candy. There was like some cinnamon cookies. There were some, there's this one thing that's like a pecan brick thing. There were some pralines, like pecan pralines. There was some guava roll. Mm-hmm. It was just a bunch of just stuff that I never eat, but I figured I'd bring her something different.
Going back to the Roman Reigns thing real quick. I just think it's like I know they're down on baby faces. I don't know why they just don't turn all the whites baby face. They don't have them doing anything. They weren't even on the show. I mean, the people are already cheering him. They want to cheer him, so seems like common sense to me.
Yeah, they could work the authority since there's three of them, you know, three on three. You could just, it didn't have to be a pay-per-view, but you could get some weeks off of Raw off of it or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially if you're not going to have your champion on there or something else, you know, more people on the show. So.
Yeah.
That's probably the only way that they could get them over as babyfaces is to have them against the authority. I can't see them getting over as babyfaces any other way.
I don't know, he's kind of already over as a baby face.
Yeah, he was over as a baby face against Cena.
Yeah, that's different.
I mean, you just look at the reaction that he gets when he comes out. They need to do something with him.
Oh, yeah, it's
amazing time, he wasn't even on the show.
It's that time in the push where you ease off the push a little bit. And, you know, I don't know. They do that to everybody.
Mm-hmm. It's hitting the bone for the rest of you that don't know. Okay. And so the main event, again, John Cena beat Brock Lesnar via DQ. Perhaps you could wait an hour. Anyway, this was not their first match by any means, because John actually had some offense. Lesnar hit a stunning overhead belly-to-belly suplex. Just awesome. And the Germans, of course, and it all ended when Seth Rollins ran in after all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that because I wouldn't think they'd have even him attempts to catch in on Brock just because I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but I wasn't that upset about it.
No. There's no other way to do it.
I thought the match was... I thought the way they did it protected everybody. I mean, they weren't going to have Cena lose again. Especially not like he lost at SummerSlam. They weren't doing that again. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, although I would have had... I don't know. This is when I would have had Ambrose return and cost him the Money in the Bank shot by getting him DQ'd against Brock.
Well, obviously they have plans of... something for that briefcase.
Yeah.
What that is,
on this
I
match,
have no idea.
On this match, I was just seeing like little pieces and clips of it. Actually, I was paying attention to it at first, but then the match that was going on, this is like a real small place, and they were having a hardcore match, and they went outside, a tables match, and they went outside kind of near me, so all hell kind of broke loose, people running. So I had to take my eyes away, and then right when I went back to look was right, like, seconds before Rollins hit the ring. And so I got to see all of that, but like I said, I couldn't hear what was going on. So I had no idea who won the match. Did Brock win by disqualification? Did Cena win by disqualification? Did anybody win? I had no clue what was going on. And then when Cena attacked Seth when he was about to cash it in, I was like, I thought that was actually kind of dumb because wouldn't you want him to beat Brock and then you can challenge him for the title, you know what I mean? So it would be easier than the dude who's been beating your ass for like two matches.
I thought it would have been better to get revenge by having the match actually start and then get him disqualified to lose the briefcase.
That's what freaked me out. Okay, that's what kind of, like, also freaked me out was because, you know, he was fucking around, you know, trying to decide, and then finally he goes and he gives the briefcase. I thought the match was on, and I thought Cena interfered and just kind of, like, I thought he kind of screwed him, too, at first, because, like I said, I didn't know what was going on, but I thought the match had started because I didn't hear it.
Yeah. The bell had never rung, so it didn't officially start. They pick and choose how they want to do the rules. Sometimes you got to have to wait till the man stands up, and sometimes you can. They don't wait till the man stands up. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. It's all about the day. You know, whatever day it is what it, whatever's going to work for them. Yeah. But yeah, it was a decent match. I don't know how else they could have done the. I don't know how else they could have done the finish to this, but not a bad match, not a bad pay per view, really.
No, it wasn't this time. I wouldn't look at Dominic 54-25 for.
Yeah,
I will actually say I was at a better show because there was actually some good shit on this show, and the shit that was absolutely horrible was so horrible it was awesome. And the night ended with me getting to take Solo Darling out to dinner, so. That right there blows anything WWE could do.
Did you get laid?
No, I didn't get laid, unfortunately.
Okay, I just asked. Well, that was the next logical step.
Well, I had to get back to San Antonio to draw the newspapers, unfortunately, and she had a plane to catch the next day.
You couldn't get laid because of your paper route.
That's what I've learned.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, Solo is awesome. I love her to death, but she's just a friend.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
And plus you know, you have a paper out.
Chick. That's something you haven't done in a long, long time.
Okay. You girls quit fighting now. So anyway, we decided, actually, Couture decided.
On this show, One of the good things on the show is Paul. I got to see a Paul London heel turn, and he was actually awesome on the mic. He was, I don't know. I guess he was teaming with the guy who owned RCW, ACW a while back, and I guess he turned on him where they had a split. And he first came out and introduced four students of his, and I have no hope for any of these four people.
That's too bad.
And then after their match, he brought out, like, I guess, oh, for the referee, he brought out Angel Blue, who helps train him. So then after, like, they're all celebrating, the other guy, Darren, attacked Paul, but the four students and Angel Blue started kicking his ass, and he called them the Swarm. He's all, Swarm, Swarm! And then, so they beat him up, and then the four guys got out of the ring, and then this guy had a match with Angel Blue, and Paul London's doing commentary during the match, and every time... Like, if he's winning, he's all, look at you, you're like Ray Rice, you hit women, and shit like that. And then, like, when Angel Blue was winning, he's like, hashtag kick in the face, hashtag your fat ass sucks. It was fucking hilarious, dude. I laughed so hard during this fucking match. Paul London is actually phenomenal, and, I heard a couple of the guys were telling the story, and apparently one time backstage, Paul London came dressed like Aquaman or that sea god or whatever, and he had a trident, and he actually stabbed Stephanie with the trident. And Stephanie wanted to almost fucking killed him. But I just thought that was kind of wacky. That made me laugh when I heard it.
I don't know how to act around the McMahon. Vince is doing his big angle. He smirks with a stupid look on his face. He's burying.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Apparently he was trying to get fired, so I guess he knew what he was doing when he did that. That's one of the classic moments of Raw, you know, because it's so serious because, you know, Vince is taking that slow walk and everyone's all sad and he's, you know, everything. And then fuck Paul London just hopping around with a big old smile like he's all fucking stoned. And,
well...
Then the limo was going to blow up. Of course he was laughing.
Yeah.
One of the guys told me a story that I guess he was in the bathroom getting high, and right when he came out, fucking Hunter came up to him and started talking to him, He was just like, oh, fuck it, freaked out. He didn't know what to do.
I got the chance today to see the debut of Finn Balor.
I watched a little bit of YouTube of that, but it was handheld from a house show.
Yeah, it was from the tapings last night.
Yeah, it was the show Leave It Work. It was crazy. People went fucking absolutely batshit for it, and you talk about putting a couple guys over strong. I mean, they murdered the Ascension. I can't see the Ascension staying after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe for one match with them, I guess.
And they did the same kind of gimmick they did with Kenta, where they had his name up on the screen, and they put his name up. They did that.
Yeah.
Everybody knew who he was.
And then his name started trending on Twitter, and then I bet there were billions of people around the world going, who the fuck is Finn Balor? Is that how you say it?
Is it Balor or is it Baylor?
I think it's Balor.
It's not Baylor. It's got to be a Balor or something. It's got to be like a foreign, you know, a foreign little twin.
Yeah, it's
to
like
it.
European or something like that. That's what I think. I've never actually really seen him work, and I couldn't tell much from this, but
yeah,
I'm looking forward to watching him.
He's good. He's shines as a heel than a baby face, but he's very good. I've seen him a bunch of times, like over the past maybe year and a half in New Japan, and he's talented. He's got a good physique, but he is kind of small. He does have that against him, but you're seeing, like we talked about when we talked about the NXT TakeOver, you're seeing a trend where they're actually giving more people a shot than just, you got to be 6'4", you got to be 280, you got to be muscular, you know, you can't be skinny fat. You know, now you got Kevin Steen, you got that one dude that we were talking about that about to start the whole conversation, you got Kenta and Divot who are smaller guys, you know what I mean? So, you know, hopefully this will be more, hopefully these guys will be successful and this will be more of a trend, because wrestling was better when you had people who looked differently than each other back in the 80s and early 90s. When everyone looks like, you know, everyone else, it's hard to get over. But if you have a different look to you, you can get over. That kind of just brought something to my head. We should have talked about this at the beginning of the show, because this is major news. Contreras, did you hear that Marco Corleone died this past week?
No. Who's that? Gendrick?
I heard it on the Brian and Vinny show.
Yeah.
You know, the tag team partners have now passed away together.
Yeah.
I've not seen anywhere this reported anywhere.
It was reported on the Brian and Vinny show, I'm telling you, by Craig.
Well, I mean, I've seen it reported on the website or anything, which is where it would be.
Well, Craig reported it because he confused Jindrak and the other feller, because they look so much alike, to be honest with you.
Who's the other fella?
You know, the other fella.
Sean O'Hare,
thank you.
Man, my joke totally went over Couture's head.
Yeah.
I thought you were being serious.
No, I totally... bombed the name.
Another strike force, faux pas.
Yes, and it will be held over my head till the end of time, I'm sure. But only
for 2 seconds. For two seconds, I was like, "What the fuck? His partner just died."
We got Akira Okuto. She lives in Bothell in the summer. What else?
And then Strike Force.
Strike Force, yeah. I still can't get over Akira Okuto and Kintsugi Sasaki's summer home in Bothell.
Yeah.
Yeah, neither can Dave Prazak, too.
That was good.
But I guess we can continue now. We've made fun of poor Craig enough.
You know, I think, going back to the NXT thing, if they've been given the bigger push, like maybe in the beginning, to these international stars, just trying to draw those... I mean, it's, you know, Kevin Steen, he's more big, like, for the independent fans, you know, in the United States. But, like, Devitt and then Kenta, they're, like, worldwide, and they want to draw those fans in. So, I see them getting mm-hmm. a better shot than the others.
I hope you're right. I mean, I wish they would give them a shot. I wish that they were more widely known, but they're just not. I mean, those last three guys that you mentioned, Devitt and Kenta and Kevin Steen, those guys are tremendous. And
yeah.
if they don't let Steen get on the mic, he's never going to get over. Like, he's a great wrestler, but as a promo and as, I'll just say it, as a comedy act, this guy is tremendous. So I hope they give him, they need to give him mic time. They need to give these guys long matches so they can show their stuff. And I just hope that they get that shot.
Yeah, I could just like tell how they were gonna give like the international guys a little bit more, just because mm-hmm. you don't see them acknowledging who they were used to be or where they came from. You know, like when they first come in, like they did
yeah.
with those guys. So
it is cool that they actually gave a nod to what they had already done.
Yeah,
and I hope they continue to do that, but I wish they would do it on a bigger stage. I mean, NXT is a really cool program, and it's really easy to watch. It's great professional wrestling in a small dose, and not a lot of people are into it. Not a lot of people watch it. So I just hope those guys all get their fair shake. That's all. Okay, so to bring everybody else up to date, Seth Rollins was about to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase at Night of Champions when he was foiled by John Cena. This popped a thought into Contreras' head and said, maybe we should talk about all the times that the Money in the Bank briefcase has been cashed in and on who.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to discuss now.
I mean, I was thinking, just talk about the cash, because let's be honest, we talk about these matches, they're all the same. We're going to get confused. It's been 10 years. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a match to make
up. The ones that are further away are the ones I remember the most. That's the weird
yes.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah,
the main spot I remember as, like, the first one was they had his shot. I think I don't remember all who was in the match. I just remember they had his shot of the ladder. And it was just like close-in shot, and all of a sudden Shelton Benjamin pops up on like the third from the top rung.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like
Spider-Man.
He came out of midair. Because you didn't seem to like do the springboard. He just popped up there, and he did the spot where he ran up the ladder, you know, when it was like kind of leaning against another ladder and did a clothesline.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's get into it.
Okay.
At New Year's Revolution in 2006, Edge cast his Money in the Briefcase in on one John Cena.
I think this was the best of all of them.
Yeah, I like this one best.
I think so, too.
Just because it came out of nowhere.
This is when Edge was at his peak, when he was just having, like, the best year ever. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good. I think 206 was pretty good just because of Edge for the most part. But yeah, this is the most memorable one. It's funny, the heel cashing in the thing, and then there was a fucking awesome pop after the bad guy won. I guess Cena was Cena. But yeah, this was the best one by far.
Wasn't much of a show, and the main event was let down. It could be the Elimination Chamber match, I think it was, that had mm-hmm. Cena and like five other guys, and Cena won, and then Vince came out and he came out and he cashed it in, and he had one of the biggest pops I can remember at the time. And Joey Styles, he was the commentator then. He was so awesome in selling that when that win had happened. Yeah, it was a great moment.
I can just see it in my head. Edge, you know, sliding into the ring. He's like, he cashing in. He's pulling on his hair, getting Cena to, Edge was so tremendous. I miss that guy.
Yeah, this was when he was getting real hot as a heel, because I don't care what anybody says, that him banging Lita and that stuff with Matt Hardy helped him a lot. I thought it got him over as a heel even more.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
Because they made a good forget the sex celebration the next night on Raw.
Yeah.
Well, there
yeah,
we get a niche with
that
one.
Yeah, you did. I was saying, what the hell?
Yeah, she was actually making
you could be bad and seeing something like that on WWE today.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, there's no way. Next one, I really enjoyed this one. Rob Van Dam cashed his Money in the Bank briefcase, and again, on John Cena at One Night Stand in 2006.
Except he did it like weeks before, because they built it up as the main event. He actually gave him
That's
a few
right.
weeks before he cashed it in.
Didn't Edge, like, once again, kind of steal the show on this one? Because wasn't he wearing like a motorcycle helmet, popped in, and speared Cena with the helmet? And then that's when Van Dam ended up winning.
He took the helmet off, and there was a thank you, Edge chant by the ECW fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great. That was also so great. And then Van Dam had to fuck it up later by him and Sabu driving around shirtless fucking with weed and other kind of pills in the car.
Well, sometimes a guy needs to unwind, can you say?
I never understood in your car driving around smoking dope.
No.
If you're not a teenager,
I mean, if you're not a teenager, if you're a young kid, or I shouldn't say that, if you're a younger person and you have nowhere to light for the evening, you know, I get that. But if you're a full-grown adult,
you got to drive hundreds of miles.
Yeah. This is a dumb decision.
And weed always has a distinct smell. It's easy to tell when somebody's smoking dope. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know.
So. They are better drivers because
it's
they
not
drive
easy
so
to tell if they're
totally.
High, but the smell gives it away. And unfortunately, that's the biggest side effect of weed is the smell. You know what I mean? Because you're gonna I remember WrestleMania Arizona. I had some weed. And I was riding with Fritz, and I think maybe it was Clary. And I told him, okay, pick me up at the exit. So I went and I walked, and I smoked a couple drags, just a few drags. And then Fritz caught up to me, so I just turned it off and got in the car. And the next thing I know, there's a tweet by Brian Auer saying that I just, like, the most intense, overpowering smell of marijuana ever at the ROH show or something.
You get a better shot at getting.
I remember that. No.
you got a better chance of getting away with drinking and driving than do smoking dope while you're driving.
I don't know about that, sure.
Well, I mean,
yeah, but it's slowly not being as bad. Like here, they used to arrest you. Unfortunately, the two times I've been arrested for fucking having minimal amount of marijuana on me, but now I think it's discretion. You know what I mean? Like, if you're really fucked up, yeah, they might arrest you. But now, they're probably not, because they're not going to want to do a shitload of paperwork over a little fucking weed. So usually they just give you a ticket now. But the way I see it is that's slowly even going to go away more when it's slowly, you know, it's going to go legal in every state. It's just a matter of time. You know, and I'm sure Washington's benefiting from all the fucking marijuana tax they're making. So, you know,
oh, I just
slowly
heard
not going to be as bad.
The state just in the year made $13 million in revenue off of the sale of marijuana in this state.
I mean, you got a better shot at drinking and driving because there's not like a smell like with if you smoking weed and drive.
I gotcha.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
drinking
true.
And driving,
obviously.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, next up, we had Edge cashing in once again on The Undertaker. This time it was on the May 8th edition of SmackDown. Oddly enough, my anniversary.
And actually, he had won the briefcase the night before from Ken Kennedy. Remember, he won at
WrestleMania. I was just about to ask was that, because I remember Kennedy winning the Money in the Bank, and I remember him like coming to the ring, and then Edge jumping him and taking the briefcase, and then Edge ended up being a champion. Was it the same show, or was it a different show?
It was a different show. He won the briefcase at WrestleMania. I think it was like maybe the very next. It was the Monday following the very next pay per view when I don't know, he attacked him in the back and he told him to, want you, you know, like have some guts and put the briefcase on the line. And I mean, when this happened, the first thing you're thinking of, okay, somebody got suspended, or he got suspended because of wellness or something like that. And he went it there, which was funny because King Kennedy, he was like, he was one of the ones that, I don't even, was this before Benoit or after Benoit? Jeez, I can't even remember.
Can't remember either.
No, this is when he had an arm injury. No, I'm so confused. And so many fucking things about King Kennedy back then. This is when he had an arm injury, and he was supposed to win the title from The Undertaker, because The Undertaker had an arm injury. But he had an arm injury, so he lost the briefcase, and then it turned out the arm injury wasn't going to cure as long as they thought it was.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. So he kind of got screwed.
Yeah. Which I think was the best thing, because I couldn't say, I don't know, I never liked Kennedy. I never liked his act. His promos were just grating on me.
What amazes me in hindsight now is, don't you guys remember the Royal Rumble here in San Antonio where he was more over than Batista in their match?
Mm-hmm.
That was like the highlight of King Kennedy and WWE, and then it was all downhill from there.
One of the better interviews I ever heard on my local radio station. The local radio station, a couple of the guys do a podcast, and they're big wrestling fans, and they had Kennedy on. And it was like one of the best, like, non-wrestling observer interviews I had ever heard. It was absolutely
shoot type interviews.
Yeah, like shoot type interviews. But this was like radio guys. He actually was broing down with them, and was talking insider stuff, and it was kind of surreal because I didn't get this off the Observer site. This isn't a Colt Cabana podcast. This is my local radio station, and they did a heck of an interview with Mr. Kennedy, and I actually found him quite entertaining and almost changed my mind on him, and then he turned it up in TNA, and then I lost all respect for him.
Didn't you
anyway.
Say he turned into a douche in that interview? Because I've heard the story before.
Not really. Later...
Didn't you say he started talking about why they were bitching about him, hurting
yes.
him? Like,
yes, he was talking... The first part of the interview was really great, but then the one thing he said that really irritated me, he was talking about how he had punched Shawn Michaels and John Cena and Randy Orton, and they went and complained about him, and he was like, this is wrestling, you need to be tough, you know, and I'm like, okay, come on now. Those are three of the toughest guys. Probably in the world. And he bragged about tearing a big chunk of Shawn Michaels' hair out of his head. So,
well, actually, it's known that Shawn Michaels is not a tough guy. Yeah. His documentary.
Well, you got like one of the great, you got like a guy like Shawn Michaels, probably one of the best in-ring workers of all time, and there's Andy Orton, who's a great worker, and John Cena, but something bad's up there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just...
Remember he used to do his stuff when he was... people try to suplex him and he kicks his legs while he's up in the air. Like, that's what they would do if it was real. And it's like makes the whole thing look ugly and just makes it more difficult on the guy trying to do the moves. You know?
It's impossible to hold somebody like that when they're kicking.
That's why people jump on choke slams. You're supposed to work with people here. You know, you're not supposed to do a bunch of stupid shit and make it harder.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, real quick question, Craig, could you body slam Vinny? Because Brian doesn't think he could.
Who? Who? Vinny. Who doesn't think he could?
Brian.
When did he say that?
On this past Brian and Vinny show with Granny, there was a question like who would win a triple threat body slam challenge. And Brian said whoever got a hold of him first because he said no way Vinny could body slam Craig and no way Craig could body slam Vinny.
I could body slam Vinny easily.
Maybe he wins because they're such shitty workers, they don't know how to go up for each other.
That's true. That is true. Anyway, okay, so what else we got here?
Well, I remember The Undertaker, he had an arm injury, and I think Mark Henry had injured him before this. There's so many people getting injured here, it blends together. And then Edge came out, and I remember he won the title. This thing that he loses Shawn Michaels the next Monday because he was, quote-unquote, leaving the territory for SmackDown. So he had to do the job on the way out.
Wow. So the next one we have took place on Raw, June 30th, 2008. We had CM Punk cashing in on Edge, turning the tables.
Yeah, this was a guy I like this one. This is maybe my second favorite one.
Tell us the story.
Well, how'd this
go down?
Well, let's see. Edge had, he was a world champion. And I remember they'd done a draft or something like that the previous Monday. And he was leaving. I think the world title, I can't remember if the world title was on. He's so confused sometimes, which is something for me because I remember all this stupid shit. I remember he was leaving. They'd done a draft like the week before or something.
Okay.
And I remember they drafted Jim Ross. Remember when he went to SmackDown? God knows what reason. And Edge came out, and he was leaving. It was Triple H. Remember, Triple H was the WWE champion. He got drafted to SmackDown, so both titles were going to be on SmackDown because both Edge and Triple H were the champions, and they were both on SmackDown. So he came in there to kind of like rub it in and said he's leaving, and you'll never see any of these titles again because the WWE title's on SmackDown, the world title is. And then Batista, who he'd had a title match the night before at the pay-per-view, who was a guy on Raw who was going to bring it back to Raw, the world title to Raw, but he failed. And he came out and he just, like, beat the shit out of him and destroyed him. Then all of a sudden that CM Punk music hit, and he came down to the ring and immediately cashed it in and hit the GTF and 1-2-3. And got a great reaction. This was one of the best ones.
It was great in execution, but I didn't like it just for the fact that I was such a big Edge fan, and then it's like, fuck.
Yeah. But I liked it because it was a babyface that was doing it, because really this cashing in thing, it's kind of a sneaky, underhanded thing that a heel does.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was poetic justice because Edge had done it twice before, so he'd been a taste of his own medicine, so it only made sense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I know, like, the money in the bank, it makes for, like, a great moment and a huge pop, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the old school guy in me, but the whole thing is absurd. that you can come out when a guy's half dead and get a title match and beat him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too old or something. I mean, it's just back in the, like, mid-'80s, early 90s or something like that. It's just kind of silly.
Right. In that aspect, I guess Rob Van Dam's probably one of the more upstanding individuals for actually telling a man he was cashing in on him. So,
and John Cena, as we'll see later.
Yeah, that's true. Next up,
Imagine the Ric Flair running out with a briefcase of Dusty Rhodes as the world champion. Hey, I want to cash this in right now if he's been beat to shit by Tully and Arn.
if Dusty had thought about this then, he would have done it because it would have been a way for him to lose without actually losing, you know what I mean?
That's true. That is very true.
I don't know. It still seems like, even back then, seems like it's an absurd idea. Nowadays, it's just like a Powerball ticket. Like,
it sounds absurd.
Get the Powerball.
Yeah.
It sounds absurd, but I would actually like to see the Horsemen and Dusty and all them kind of do a Money in the Bank angle, because I think it would be fucking phenomenal.
It'd probably pull off well, but the whole idea, it's just, I don't know, again, it's just like the old person in me. I just like the traditional stuff, you know, when you weren't, like, running in when people are half dead and beating them for titles. So, I don't know. It's just,
I hear you. Next up, once again, we had CM Punk cashing in on, this time, Jeff Hardy at Extreme Rules in 2009.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy just beat Edge for the world title in a ladder match, and CM Punk cashed in. Started a great feud for the next 2-3 months between those guys. I still remember when Punk dressed up like Jeff Hardy and had the paint on and followed everyone.
Awesome.
Yeah. That was pretty bad.
Do you remember the YouTube video after where Jeff Hardy went off on CM Punk and he said something about him being straight edge, but he goes, I've seen you take like an Ambien or something like that. And he goes, that's a drug too.
You know, when they were fucked up in that diner.
Yeah. That was like Jeff Hardy's greatest promo ever.
I'm surprised he went face down in his soup at diner or something like that. I think Matt might have been. I don't know. Because this was like three months before Jeff Hardy left. You remember he left and it was like a few days later that he got raided for all those drugs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And of course, TNA signed him up in January. I'm on their show.
Yeah. Wasn't there like internet rumors, like, you know, bullshit internet rumors, but that CM Punk was the one that stitched him out to the authorities?
That makes as much sense than anything else I've heard.
Yeah.
I think Punk actually said something in a promo about it like a week after he left.
This one was a good one because just of how dirty, underhanded it was. You know what I mean? Jeff had just won a hard-ass match, and then you come and cash it in. But this is one of the ones I remember quite a bit. After this, then it kind of this is where it starts to jump the shark a little bit as far as some of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we had Jack Swagger cashing it in on Chris Jericho. SmackDown, April 2nd, 2010. Who cares?
It baffles my mind that Jack Swagger was once champion.
Right.
Didn't he have an eagle or something? A mascot?
I don't know. I know he brought his dad one week. It was Bunkhouse Buck.
Yeah, I was about to say that too. He brought him Bunkhouse. That was kind of awesome, actually. He does have some good friends, you know, Bunkhouse Buck, Zeb, you know, he's got some good company.
I'm surprised Robert Fuller ain't showed up yet.
Yeah, this makes
sense. Just rebuild the Sid stable.
When he won, I was thinking to myself, "This he's got to be the first one to fail." But no, he won.
Well, he's lucky he won because it took him damn near forever to get that briefcase at WrestleMania. Like,
yeah.
He never got that thing done.
Right.
I remember, yeah, it's hard to remember him as really being a world champion. Kind of like, not that Dolph Ziggler was, I like Dolph Ziggler, but it never really felt like he was the world champion. I guess because he was out hurt. So for most of his time, and he came right back and lost it. So.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah, but this was weird because I remember because we had just come off of WrestleMania with Jericho and Edge, and he put on Jack Swagger. I didn't understand it.
Another one that I couldn't quite wrap my head around, Kane cashed in on Rey Mysterio at the 2010 Money in the Bank.
Well, see, Rey Mysterio was a little dude, and Kane's a big dude, so, I mean, I don't see how you can't figure out how Vince McMahon's not like, we're putting on the title on Kane. Who's going to believe Rey Mysterio is going to win?
Well, we're starting that stupid fucking thing with the Undertaker, and he's in a vegetative state in the hospital, or some stupid thing like that. Remember? And Paul Bearer came back, and then Edge had kidnapped Paul Bearer and pushed him around in a wheelchair, and then Kane left him in the freezer, and Paul Bearer froze to death, but he didn't freeze to death or something. I don't know. Kane, everything involving Kane sucks.
You are wrong. Everything involving Kane is awesome. Paul Bearer being thrown up in a wheelchair, thing that was freaking phenomenal.
Everything involving Kane sucks. If anybody thinks it's entertaining, you're the ones that sit around and listen to your own farts while you're alone and laugh at them.
When Undertaker and Kane were throwing lightning bolts at each other, that was fucking 5 stars.
Yeah, some of that stuff was okay, but I mean, like when they first came in, Kane was okay, but I don't know, Kane's getting kind of, I don't know, I've had old Kane. I think he makes that. He looks so stupid in that suit. Jesus. And he just makes matches shittier. I mean, he had a match like a week ago with Chris Jericho that felt sucked. Which is boring.
Okay,
still.
I agree. He's not a good booker or authority figure, but he has been in some cool shit.
And you put Randy Orton and Seth Rollins next to him, make them look like geeks.
I said it a couple weeks ago. I'll say it again. I think it's time for Kane to hang it up. He's just not the worker he used to be.
Time for Kane to go run for office or whatever the fuck he can do.
That'd be awesome. Fucking Governor Kane.
They thought of worse.
I remember the Undertaker came back and then he would kind of sit up, but he was still so out of it from being in the vegetative state, he couldn't do the big sit up and still got his butt kicked. And actually, Kane won that feud, which was surprising. He won the feud with the Undertaker, beat him in Hell in a Cell.
That's right.
Wow.
Never got the win back. Not like I needed to see another match, but still.
Truth. Okay, next up. Another one that I still trying to wrap my head around. Miz cashed the Money in the Bank briefcase in on Randy Orton on the November 22nd episode of Raw in 2010.
And the greatest fan reaction was captured on TV, and even the guy with the black guy with the buggy eyes cannot top Angry Miz Girl.
Angry Miz Girl and the guy the Brock Lesnar Undertaker guy. Those are probably the two best I've ever seen.
Yeah, the two best. But Angry Miz Girl, she had such fire and hatred and disdain and just loathing and just, God, I've never seen a little girl or child have that kind of a look. She looked like she belonged in a fucking 80s horror movie, dude.
You know the visual of when
light fixtures and cameras were going to start falling down on the audience and...
in that one shot when Brett has Austin in the sharpshooter and the blood's just trickling down his face and into his mouth in that WrestleMania match.
Oh yeah,
it kind of reminds me of the Miz Girl. It's just that one perfect shot, you know, that just, I don't know, just encapsulates the whole thing, makes it perfect. I actually love this cash-in because I like the Miz because I think everybody else hated him. So naturally, I like him.
He was hot at that time. He was hot.
And people may not like him. I mean, he's a good worker. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him in the ring. I think he's fine. I mean, he doesn't suck. I mean, people might act like he sucks, but he doesn't. He's actually very good. It's just his persona, I think, is. He missed that one dive when R-Truth dove out of the ring, and ever since then, everybody's fucking aged him for some reason. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love this because the month before he lost the U.S. title to Daniel Bryan or something like that. And then this was Orton was against Wade Barrett. And the night before, remember Wade Barrett and Randy Orton for the title with John Cena as referee. And if John Cena didn't help Wade Barrett, then he got fired and all that stupid stuff. They had a rematch the next night, and he came out at the and Cena interfered, and Wade Barrett lost, and then Miz came out, and actually it was actually cool because they teased Randy Orton was actually going to win, which I thought he might have, because he was the Miz. He's one of those guys you figure would maybe lose the shot, just because it's that time for somebody to lose the opportunity. But no, he hit the Skull Crushing finale and won the match. I really like this one.
Yes, the Dames has tweeted a picture of Jack Swagger and the Eagle. As a matter of fact, there was a live mascot in the ring, the Soaring Eagle mascot. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So next up, Alberto Del Rio cashed in on CM Punk SummerSlam 2011.
Yeah, this was horrible.
Yeah, kind
of. Punk's coming off being like the hottest guy in the business, you know, at the time.
I kind of like because he was fucking over CM Punk, and I've never really been the biggest CM Punk fan.
I mean, CM Punk was so hot coming off that promo like 2 months before that match, which was actually at the, you know, when he won the title from Cena, that Money in the Bank pay-per-view. It was still one of I thought was one of the best WWE pay-per-views of all time, that show was, from Chicago. I don't know, what do you guys think of that show?
The Chicago one? The one where CM Punk won?
Yeah, the one where you beat John Cena for the title. In the main event when they were in Chicago.
I will say that was one of the best crowds ever. It was a good show. Yeah, it was a good show. That WrestleMania that year was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
And then he was out. He got the title. I remember he got the title, and which it was shocking to me because I just figured he was leaving, you know. So they weren't going to change the title, but they did change the title, and it's next time he saw it was in his refrigerator.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
and then they started the tournament the next night. To do it and have a new champion. And they crown the new champion, and then the old champion shows up, so they do, like, the unification thing. And then it was, CM Punk beat John Cena, even though his foot was on the rope. And then at the end, Kevin Nash, of all people, comes out and powerbombs him, and Alberto Del Rio gets the win. I just thought it stopped his momentum at that point, losing the title. So.
And he never got his win back over Kevin Nash, did he?
Well, he never lost to Kevin Nash.
That's right. He lost to Kevin Nash. He never got his win back.
He never wrestled Kevin Nash.
Oh, he didn't? What the fuck am I thinking? Oh, it was Hunter.
Remember, because Kevin Nash had some kind of medical thing, so they had changed the match?
Yeah, I remember now.
Well, he probably would have got his win back if he'd have stayed around this year.
By the way, Ed, I want you to notice in a few weeks that I won't bring your mistake up. Because that's the way I am.
These won't even remember it. It's not funny like the ones when you mess up.
I made notes of it on my tablet.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
And he ended up getting the title back a couple of months later anyway, but still, I thought it was stupid to take it off of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have TLC 2011. Daniel Bryan cashed it in on the Big Show.
Yeah, I thought this one sucked.
I thought it was great because Big Buddy, Little Buddy. It wasn't like Big Show like encouraging him like at this time, and then fucking Daniel fucked him of all people, and then I remember Show getting pissed off about
it.
I remember it was a
chairs match, which I don't know, it just sounds stupid to say a chairs match. Maybe I'm the only one it was a chairs match with Mark Henry, who was actually coming off a great run, because remember he beat Randy Orton like clean, like two times in a row. And he was a great world champion, I thought, at the time. And but they had a chairs match, and Big Show won the title.
Big chair?
Huh?
You remember when he had the big chair? He had like a big, big chair.
With the big chair?
Like one time he had a big ladder,
yeah.
And then another time he had a big chair.
I remember that one Money in the Bank ladder match where he had the really big ladder that it took.
The one
looked like a weight.
He blew up.
Pounds when he tried to,
yeah, he blew up just getting
get
into
the
ring.
Yeah.
There was
like
a match
was
where he, I think it was a Sheamus, or maybe it was a Sheamus, but there was like a big ass chair.
I think it was last year, dude.
Oh.
I think it was last
year.
Remember, it was, it's
I
been
I
recent.
Do, I think I do remember it, like a oversized chair or something. But anyway, he won the title from Mark Henry, and Mark Henry beat him with a chair, and Daniel Bryan just came in and rolled him over and pinned him. I don't know. I didn't care much for it.
I love Daniel's first run of the title.
When the guy has to get up before the match starts, I guess.
Like I said, they adjust the rules when they need to.
Yeah.
All right. Raw 1000, July 23rd, 2012. John Cena cashes in on CM Punk.
Yeah, this was just to do the CM Punk heel turn.
This is when he turned on The Rock, right?
Yeah, the Big Show came out and attacked John Cena, and it was weird because he had the CM Punk as a champion and had John Cena, and for some reason they always had to throw a third guy in there that's not very good. You remember when they had like Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and Kane in the three way feud?
Yeah.
And then they had John Cena and CM Punk doing this program, and they had to throw the Big Show. They always throw somebody that's not very good in there as a third man. I don't know. It's one of those stupid things they always do. And then The Rock came out. He was about to do the People's Elbow on the Big Show, and CM Punk gave him the GTS, and that's what started his heel turn. So,
because
they announced
earlier
that...
They clotheslined him first, like, because the Rock came off the ropes for the People's Elbow, and right when it came off, it was perfect timing and perfect angle. I mean, the whole thing was perfect. CM Punk hit him with the clothesline.
Because earlier in the show, they announced that Rock was getting a title shot at the Royal Rumble. So.
Okay.
Okay, the big chair was TLC 2012.
Okay.
We need to take the show because he's better than I am. Next up, we had Dolph Ziggler. He cashed in on Alberto Del Rio, April 8th, 2013.
This was great.
Thought so?
That was one of the biggest pops I've heard in a long time.
It sucked.
It was the post-WrestleMania crowd, so they were, like, hot for everything. And they just, like, exploded when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
Then he fucked up and got hurt. Lost his push.
Yeah. And then just like Jack Swagger is like one of the most forgettable titles. Because, I mean, I really have to think about it to remember that Dolph Ziggler was once a world champion.
Although
he's been multiple times champion, hasn't he?
Who, Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah, was he okay, when he had the match with Cena, was he champion or was he the challenger?
The match with Cena.
He beat Cena in a match. Didn't AJ like help him beat
Cena?
Oh,
he had the big briefcase and put it on the line at TLC match, TLC pay-per-view.
Okay.
Against John Cena. That's where AJ turned heel.
Yeah.
You remember he did something? Didn't he do something? He had a match with Edge, and Edge couldn't use the spear, and he used the spear, so he also got the title for like 2 days, or like for like maybe 30 minutes on one show that nobody ever remembers.
I don't even remember.
It's like when people want to count people as champions during that stupid-ass scramble match where the guy was champion for 5 minutes with the interim champion.
The hardcore match where, like, 15 different dudes were, like, the hardcore champion for, like, 5 seconds.
you had this scramble match, and, like, Brian Kendrick was the interim WWE champion for, like, 2 or 3 minutes.
That one now. Okay, yeah.
And people like that act like, oh, he's the WWE champion. No, he wasn't. He just got the fall, you fucking moron.
if the bell didn't ring, he didn't win the title.
Although the great thing, I love the double turn with Dolph Ziggler and Alberto that he did when Alberto won the title and the title back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had the concussion, so he kept working over the head. And you could see, and they
turned both guys
in that one match, and I thought that was awesome.
And that was the last we ever heard of Dolph Ziggler in the main event.
He's doing okay now, I guess. Well, maybe not. He's not champions. He's probably going to lose more. So.
Yeah, he'll be champion. He'll win a few matches, and then he'll lose for a few months, and then they'll give him a shot again for a couple weeks, and then he'll lose. It's just going to be the same old with him for the rest of his career.
Unless somebody does a promo for a house show when he gets to be Randy Orton. So. Who was next?
We had Randy Orton cashing it in on Daniel Bryan, SummerSlam 2013.
I didn't like this one because it led to a bunch of horrible shit, like the B-Show.
Yeah.
Everything sucks at your SummerSlam. You ever know that every year? It gets really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the shows, I don't know what it is. Maybe they just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's seasonal or something. Everything's supposed to suck after when you get to the fall and the winter months.
Well, I don't think they do that on purpose. The ending just kind of pissed everyone off.
Yeah, I remember this was good because he beat John Cena clean. I mean,
that was a phenomenal match. Him and Cena, God, they had a great, great fucking match. And then, you know, Hunter just turned on him at the end. But I remember they did like a lot of promotional work for this SummerSlam. I know like all the Total Diva chicks got like some major airtime and shit and like promotional wise. And they made a big deal about it. And I liked the show. I mean, I wasn't happy that Daniel lost at the end. But, I mean, I thought it was a decent show. But it was actually well done the way when Hunter did it because it kind of just came out of left field, you know what I mean? And it wasn't just for no reason. They actually like had a plan. The plan wasn't that great with Big Show, but I thought this was a decent one. It was better than a lot of the last few ones we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if they kept the title on him, you know, he made more money. He wouldn't have to ask John Cena to help him buy a bed and breakfast. So.
That was Bree. That's fucking Bree, not Brian.
Fucking stupid.
Really stupid. Really, really stupid. Okay, and we've got down to the last one. And Damian Sandow cashing it in on John Cena on Raw, October 28th, 2013.
This was actually a hell of a match, I remember.
It was,
this
actually.
Was a fantastic match, man. I mean, this is Sandow's greatest match. I think he had two awesome matches with Cena, but this one was great. I mean, I expected him to lose, and he ended up losing, but I thought it was one of those where it would elevate him a little more because it was such a good match. But unfortunately, it didn't. And, that kind of sucked. But before Sandow, who else has lost besides Cena? I mean, Cena lost, didn't he?
I guess you could say, in a way, well, he didn't lose during the cash in, but Kennedy lost the match, briefcase in a match, so.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think Cena and Sandow are the only ones that lost.
The match itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandow's the only one where he, like, destroyed the guy before the match. You know, the guy was hurt going in, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen with Seth? Who's he going to finally cash it in on? Any idea? Or what would you like to see?
I'm not sure.
I think
they're going
to go after Mania. Go after, like, Brock is no longer the champion if he makes it that long.
Or maybe have Reigns beat Lesnar, and then he cashes in that on Reigns after that, maybe. I don't. But then that would have the bad guy winning at WrestleMania.
I don't see him winning the WrestleMania. Maybe during the summer.
It wouldn't surprise me if he loses. Like, you know, he tried to cash in on John or somebody, and he ends up losing. I'm not totally sold that they trust him enough to put the title on him yet. But I think if they do, I think he'll still have some great matches, but right now I'm not so sure which way they're going to go with him. I think it could go either way right now.
Yeah, hard to say. Really hard to say. I mean,
I just don't think I just can't think of cashing in on Brock Lesnar, so I think it'll be after Brock's no longer the champion, however long that is. So, I don't know. And I could easily see, you know, the one of the common sense things to do, like just because of the program, be like Ambrose costing him his cash in, you know, he gets him DQ'd or something, which would have been perfect,
right.
I think, on the match last week, but they didn't do it then. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's only one briefcase now, so it's too confusing when two people run around in it with a briefcase.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but I would like to see him in a major role. I think he's one of those guys that he actually needs the title to get over that hump. I think he's very over, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
I think he's one of those guys that actually needs the title to get over that hump. So I hope he cashes it in, and I hope he takes it home.
Actually, eventually, like maybe at some point next year, like a match with a three-way with all former members of the Shield for the title or something like that. I could see a match coming like that next year.
Okay. We shall see.
I thought they should have done a thing where he cashed in, but like the week before, like a few weeks before, like Ambrose steals the briefcase, and then he gets the briefcase back, and then he cashes in and wins the title. But when they go to look in the briefcase, it doesn't have the contract in, so it's void.
Well, the contract already got destroyed. It had soda and popcorn thrown on it.
And they said when they go get the contract, since the contract wasn't in there and they didn't have it on paper, they didn't have the signature or the actual contract, and it doesn't count.
Or what if they opened it up and it wasn't the WWE contract, it was a TNA contract where you get fired?
Now you're just stretching.
They'll probably own TNA by then anyway.
I'll put another Bound for Glory preview. Okay, done.
They can't even have the champion and the past champions be on fucking the show.
All the titles change hands and don't air until after the pay per view. I don't understand what's going on.
Excuse me. TNA almost just killed me right there.
Jesus, it's like those worldwide tapings. Remember those WCW worldwide tapings where like three different people on the same tape and will come out with the same title even though no match took place where they won it?
Yeah.
They had one match. The taping started off, Barry Windham's the NWA champion. They take the next hour, Rick Flair comes out. They take the next hour, Rick Flair comes out as the champion. he beat Flair at Fall Brawl, and they take this in August, and Fall Brawl is in September. The Nasty Boys are stretching.
There's a difference, though, because that was WCW's Saturday, and this is an actual pay-per-view that they're fucking up. I just find it hilarious that they can't have Bobby Roode or Bobby Lashley on the show. I mean, that's just the most moronic thing I've ever heard, dude. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ.
You plan to watch this pay-per-view, Craig?
I don't plan on it. Somebody holds a gun to my head.
Sunday, and you're doing. No, you might get lucky. They might do it. They might talk about it on Sunday.
I don't know.
I should send Brian an email. You really want to troll Craig? Make him watch Bound for Glory, and then he'll be more than happy to have Craig watch Bound for Glory.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch. I just decided like the last pay-per-views I had. I'm not talking about the one-night-only pay-per-views. It don't mean anything. Well, I mean, all the pay-per-views don't mean anything, but I mean, the ones that are actually supposed to mean something. But
More importantly, let's go back to Brian, and why didn't you punch him in the face when he was yelling at you before the show this past week?
I might as well have been talking to the ceiling anyway, so it didn't really matter.
You pretty much were. You pretty much were. I'm just like, why aren't you getting? He's saying to get it fixed, but he's saying you don't have to do it right now. Why are you going on and on and on and on and on? Shut up already. I feel bad for you, Frank.
There's no reason to feel bad for me. There was no ill will. He just likes to beat a dead horse. So, no big deal.
I would have punched him in the face.
Well,
but we got around 5 minutes. Let me get the plugs out of the way here real quick. Everyone, check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. You can download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Contrer and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. And if you haven't heard the show from last week, go and hear the show from last week. It's an awesome show. I think Nia Yam is one of the best interviews we've had in a long time. She was phenomenal. And so check out last week's show. Craig?
Yeah, you can check me out on Twitter. I'm at my last name, Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R, and then the word Jam after it. So Proper Jam on Twitter. Anything wrestling related and, to be honest, music related. I do right there. So check out there. Follow me, and I might even follow you back.
You can go to youtube.com/Contrer. I got a YouTube channel up there, a bunch of old videos, a lot of Memphis stuff. So if you like that, you can go through and watch that. Contrer35 on Twitter. I don't tweet, so I'm just not talking to you anyway. I'm Contrer on Xbox Live. If you message me, do not message me with the letters SUP. So I ain't going to respond to it. Don't say nothing or tell me anything about you other than that you're an idiot. So don't message me that. Just type out what you want to say, and maybe I'll respond.
You're not one of those assholes that, like, starts the game, and then once he starts losing, he disconnects.
You know, I rarely even connect, get in touch with anybody on, Xbox Live. I just like to kind of do my own thing. I've been playing Destiny. I've been playing the big multiplayer thing on there. But I'm not into getting teams together or, whatever they do on there. I'm not big on that because I don't know. And then you got some of these games where people got their headsets on, which is fucking irritating as hell. Because I can only,
right.
I mean, I hear enough people say, fuck on this show every Friday night, and I don't need to hear it every day. I only hear somebody say fuck or fag or whatever, That's what all people say on there when they got their headsets on. So I just mute it. So, I don't know. I'm not into that.
There you go.
I watched the new X-Men this week. That was very good.
You watched what?
The new X-Men movie.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't seen it?
Story.
Have you seen it, Craig?
No, I have not seen it yet. That's
one
of the big ones.
Have you seen the other one?
Oh, yeah. For some reason, this one slipped past me. So,
they got an extended version coming out pretty soon.
I don't think it's on DVD yet, but they got the digital version, on some of those online, Amazon or something like that. You want to check it out? I watched that. I watched the new Transformers, Age of Extinction.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty good.
I haven't seen that one yet. But yeah, X-Men was awesome.
Ass.
I loved X-Men, especially, and the main thing is because they fixed all the shit that was wrong with X3.
Well, where they killed everybody?
Yeah, well, they killed Jean, they killed Scott, and then they took the power away from Rogue.
Maybe I missed something. How were they able to be alive at the end of the movie?
Because he totally changed the past. So that X3 never happened.
Oh.
And everything's pretty much been reset, kind of. But they did it in a way where it kind of explains it, and it's just them not resetting everything. Like Spider-Man, how we got reset. It's not like that. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
Just everything when that happened and when he woke up, everything changed.
I like the younger X-Men cast than I do the older one, I think. don't know.
I mean, Jennifer Lawrence is good. The young. I love Ian. I love Sir Ian, but the younger Magneto. That's one of the best villains, like, especially in the first class. He's one of the best new villains out there. I mean, he's just, that dude's great. And, but other than that, I mean, they didn't really use a lot of the ones from the last one. It was just mainly Mystique and Professor X and Beast and Xavier. But,
yeah,
I don't mind Jennifer Lawrence. She's pretty hot.
Now, what was the post-credit thing? What is that supposed to be leading to? Do you know? It was something about the apocalypse, leading to the next one.
That guy, the little kid, he becomes this character called Apocalypse, who's like one of the major villains. And this movie actually takes place before X-Men's Days of Futures Past, so they're going to have to recast. I think they're going to recast Cyclops, Jean, and Storm, and they're going to be like a little a younger version. So, but I'm sure it'll still be good. You know, as long as Singer's the one directing, I don't have any fear about it. But if he gets in more legal trouble, you know, then I might worry. Because, like, the guy who did, like, like I talked with Leva about it last week, there were things on X3 that I liked, but there were just things that, like, it just, you know, I can't fucking kill off Cyclops. I mean, he's the most unlikable X-Men of them all, but you can't kill them all, you know?
Mm-hmm. I never liked it. What was the one in, it was the first movie. Who was the, you know, the guy the wrestler played?
Sabretooth.
Yeah, because he looked, I like the one from, wasn't he the same one that was in Wolverine, the Origin movie?
It was a different one. It was a different guy. The one that was in Origins was like a more famous, that was an actor, dude.
He was the same character is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was the same character.
Yeah, but he just seemed like a mindless geek in like the first X-Men movie, but the one like in the previous, like in the Origin movie, seemed like a little bit more cunning and calculated and a little bit smarter than dumb or anything.
The character from the first X-Men is just basically the character in name and kind of style, but it's not the character, because the real character is who was in Origins. He's a calculating asshole. And if you read the comics, there's been some, even though it's just pictures, there's been some awesome fights between the two of them. You know, I mean, that's just like one of the longest running feuds in comic book history, one of the bloodiest.
I still love the scene in X-Men the First Class, when they just walk into the bar and Logan tells them to fuck off.
Yeah, that was funny.
That's like one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah. And they referenced that one pretty good on Days of Futures Past, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess we're over the live feed. So, Craig, you have anything you want to talk about?
No. Just want to go eat some dinner, and I want to sleep, because my first weekend off in 7 weeks. Yeah.
Petra, anything you want to talk about before we go?
No.
Well, I really don't have anything other than to say it and just send a shout out to my girl, Soul Darling. And I guess we will see everybody next week. I guess we'll come up with something to talk about, and we will be back.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit! Let's go hook him up! Texas ass out.
I got my wife tonight.